Hello and welcome to a special and spooky Halloween edition of What Is Wrong With Hiring, the podcast where we talk about why hiring people and getting hired are both absolute nightmares. I'm Laura Klein, a once and future hiring manager and an extremely annoyed job seeker.
And I'm Amy Santee, a once and never again tech worker turned career coach who, instead of experiencing my own direct hiring horrors, gets to live vicariously through all of you.
Ugh. That sounds so much better, Amy. Please be advised that this podcast may contain drinking, swearing, haunting, and screaming into the abyss. Okay, I'm going to stop that. I shouldn't do that. You can leave that part in. pretty much like most podcasts, I promise that was my last ghost voice.
That's okay. Do probably. Whatever. If you're in the mood, it's October. It's seasonally spooky appropriate.
Season. Exactly. Yeah, spooky season.
Yes, we asked listeners to share their worst hiring experiences within the shadowy realm of interviewing and hiring. So thank you to those brave souls who submitted more than 50 hellish stories. And these range from the frustrating but expected type of bullshit one is likely to come across to some pretty nightmarish encounters where things went horribly wrong.
I have my own hiring horror story, and it's new.
Okay,
so I left my job last month after a reorg that landed me into a group that was not great for me. Self-care, just decided that was enough. I've been casually looking for a new job, but I was really excited about one because it was working with an old boss who I had enjoyed working with and really wanted to work with her again. So I went through the process. I had a verbal offer. I negotiated it, of course, because that's what we do. And then I accepted verbally, and I was just waiting for the paperwork to come through. I'm going to be honest, I had this weird feeling while waiting for the paperwork based on nothing but vibes and the fact that everything else is on fire. So I just didn't trust, I don't know. It was my spidey senses were tingling. And the surprise, the CEO did not approve the offer. And the offer when they came back was lowered to 78% of the original base salary. Amy, you actually did the math on that. So thank you. I just knew it was like much lower. And irritatingly. So now I have to decide, do I still want this job? Like at this much lower rate. And also knowing that the CEO is the kind of guy who will just step in at the last minute and blow shit up, which is not, if I'd wanted that, I could have stayed at my old job.
Exactly. It's too common. And yeah, definitely a red flag to watch for. So do you think you'll take a leap and embrace the uncertain darkness or flee from the looming horrors that await you?
Okay. Oh, I see we're both getting into the spirit. Okay, that's fine. If you're going to be that way, I'm just going to start witch cackling. Look, this whole podcast is fun, and this, I'm going to admit it now, it's an elaborate setup for me to get free career advice from you, Amy, as opposed to actually paying for it, because hey, it's free if my time has no value. You tell me, what should I do? It is a much worse offer. There are still some good things about the job. I would get to work with my old boss, who was very apologetic, and she had gotten all the approvals from the people she thought she needed to get the approval for this job. It's just that, I don't know, it sounds like kind of a shit show.
And yes, it does. I would have the same reaction. You got your expectations up and were looking forward to joining this organization with people that you already know. They made you an offer and you said yes. And then they took it back, and to go that much lower in compensation, that's awful in and of itself. But the fact, as you pointed out, that the CEO jumped in and prevented that initial offer from happening, changed his mind. I think it does probably reflect how things may go and internally in terms of other sorts of major decisions. So that would definitely, I think, be a concern for me. And so, I mean, good luck, first of all. And I'll be curious to know what you decide.
Ugh, you're supposed to just tell me what to do. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Again. Don't take it.
See, now I'm going to feel bad if I do take it. I don't know. It's a tough question, and I don't want to get too hung up on the whole, but I deserve X. Like, everybody's taken less now. I get that the market's garbage, taking something now, and then, I don't know, switching in 6 months if I find something better.
Yeah,
not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, and there are definitely different conditions in today's job market. But at the same time, you still do deserve something that's commensurate with what's involved in the role and your experience. And I think you also deserve to work with people who respect you and value you. Yes, that will be a personal decision, a very important one. But if you do decide to say no, I'm sure you will continue to get other offers and find something that is really good for you and what you're looking for.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What do we have? Let's talk about some other people's horror stories.
Yeah. So for today, we got so many stories in our initial call. So we decided to turn this into a three-part series for the month of October. So today for part two, we'll continue with another series of terrible tales from job candidates. And next week for part three, we'll do another spooky episode about the trials and tribulations of hiring managers, because they are human too.
As an ex-hiring manager, I'm going to say just barely, but sure. All right. First story. Here we go. I had to do a video interview for a UXR role, and the hiring manager was visibly in another meeting during my interview. I asked him if he needed to take it, and he said no, but at times during my interview, he stopped to hear what they were saying. This told me how little he thinks of this process and role. Then he proceeded to clearly lay out what was definitely a visual design role. So I explained to him that he was really looking for a designer, not a researcher. But I soon realized there was no way I could be informative in this scenario. He told me I was wrong and let me know he'd done research before. In telling me about the research, it wasn't with humans. It was all desk research. I was annoyed and typically would have just let the call end on a soft note, but it bothered me that this guy was going to walk away, possibly thinking he was deciding something about my fate, especially with how rude he was. So I let him know again that this was indeed a designer role and that I would be moving on.
First of all, why did people have to be so rude? That's so obvious. Like, how can you be in two meetings at the same time? The rudeness people exhibit is just, it's too common for my preferences. But second of all, imagine having this person as your boss. I think situations like this can be really discouraging and harmful when someone's outright telling you're wrong when you're actually right because you're literally an expert in something. And I'm glad that this person asserted themselves because it can make people really second guess themselves. And this kind of thing can eat at someone's self-confidence. And so, of course, the sad thing is that this dude is probably just going to continue on thinking he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, My worry here, and this has nothing to do with the candidate who did, by the way, 100% the correct thing, and good for the candidate for just being like, thank you, no, I'm out, because that's a success story right there. But what concerns me is that this hiring manager is going to go on and find somebody who is younger or who is desperate or who doesn't have the kind of self-assurance to just be like, that's not this, and they're going to have a really shitty job experience with this dude.
Yep. I think this is an example of a success story in a way for the reason that you mentioned. And I think a lot of the stories we got are success stories in the sense that the outcome is better for that individual in the long run. Yeah. Didn't you have an experience like this in recent times, Laura, where someone told you were not doing research correctly and you didn't really know what you're talking about?
It might have something to do with the fact why I'm not at my old job.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Sounded familiar.
It wasn't during a hiring thing, but it did incentivize a hiring thing in that I am now looking for a new job. Anyway, what's our next story, Amy?
I have 20 years experience in software development, including 7 years as an engineering manager. Because that time as a manager was at my own business, people tend to discredit it. I was interviewing for an individual contributor role at a well-known fintech company, and the hiring manager said, "You have a lot of management experience. Are you interested in also interviewing for this other role," which was a management role? And I said, to be really honest, I found that people don't really value my time as a manager at my own company, despite the fact that I did all of the things a manager at a large company would do. And she said, "That's just silly. It's the same experience." She convinced me to interview for the management position as well, telling me she felt that experience was valuable. I ended up getting rejected for both positions after going through the full interview process for both. But the kicker, the feedback for the engineering manager role was not enough management experience.
This is so frustrating. And it is actually a weirdly good example of how little pull hiring managers can have sometimes. This is a bit of a weird tangent, but smaller companies, there are fewer people making that final decision. So it's useful to know that. What you can run into is the hiring manager, or often the recruiter who maybe doesn't know the role that well or whatever, like they could be giving you the wrong advice. And it's tricky, right? Like if I, as a hiring manager in a big organization, say what I value is X, and there's somebody who can veto it who values something else, that's gonna hurt you. And I don't really know what the right answer to that is. I actually run into this a lot, this particular problem, because my jobs tend to veer wildly in terms of the titles. Like it's product role, research role, design role. Yes, I've done all of these things. So people look at it and go, I don't really know what you do. So you have to be really good about telling that story and getting ahead of it and really being very clear that I know it looks weird, but here's how it relates. Now, this person may have done all of that and it didn't matter because somebody was looking for something very specific. That happens too. Like I said, that can happen a lot at these big companies. But just the best thing you can do is if you know that you have something on your resume that people tend to go like, oh, that doesn't count, you have to tell a really good story about not just why it counts, but why it's incredibly important and makes you an even better candidate.
Yeah, I think this could be a case of making sure to tell the story effectively to connect the dots for people. And we should always keep in mind the questions and perspectives of the people who are reading our resume or looking at our LinkedIn. And it's hard to address every possible interpretation of things, but thinking about what most likely is this person's perspective or what biases or assumptions might I need to get ahead of, especially in today's market.
Right, our next story is another success story, I think. I'm just going to ruin it for everybody by telling you that ahead of time. I was looking for my first full-time content design role and had been through a weird panel interview at a startup-style company that had been around for a few years. I asked a question about how much vacation people tend to take, given that the policy was, quote, unlimited. But I wanted to understand if that translated to good work-life balance. An employee answered that she had recently gone on a trip to Paris, but that she took her laptop so she could do work while in Paris. They didn't answer my question about what unlimited meant. When I was rejected, it was because it seemed like I wouldn't be committed to the company.
Oof.
Yeah. Again, really good example here, I think, on the candidate side of asking questions around the things that matter to you and honestly accepting the consequences that come with that, but having the right attitude of, I don't want to do work on my vacation in Paris because I will be too busy eating, I don't know, cheese and crepes or whatever, doing whatever you enjoy doing. I enjoy eating my way through Paris. So that's, bring your good questions. Make sure that you are asking about things that matter to you and understand that if they're saying bullshit, you're not going to be a committed team player because you're not willing to work on your vacation. Fuck them. Seriously. That's what vacation is.
Exactly. That list of questions is so important. And in order to formulate your questions or know what to look for throughout the interview process, you need a list of requirements for jobs. You want to be really clear on the things that are non-negotiable for you and the things you're willing to compromise on, ranging from workplace style to team culture stuff to the manager, the type of work, compensation, all of that, and be able to ask corresponding questions or collect data along the way so you can be assessing whether or not this is a good opportunity. But more importantly is sticking to the list because it can be easy to make exceptions that we may not be happy with later on and do that due diligence. If we are making any kind of assumptions about how things will be, and this person didn't make assumptions, they wanted to clarify what this policy actually looks like in practice, right? Does the company support people taking time off? And how much time do people typically take? And the answer was right there in front of them, which is that it would be unappreciated by the business if people were to do that. I think too that unlimited vacation policies are pretty much a scam for the most part. They can basically be a way for companies to make you feel bad about taking time off from work, not wanting to put the burden on your coworkers or wanting to finish up a project according to a deadline. And so the policy is one thing, but again, how it's supported and facilitated by the organization is another thing. And it can also be a really sketchy way for companies to not have to pay out as much in unused paid time off if there is a layoff or if someone quits.
Yeah, absolutely. We should do a whole future podcast on that particular thing because I happen to like unlimited vacation, but that comes with a lot of caveats. I'll just put it that way. You're going to do this next story, but we wanted to give a content warning for knife violence, which is not a statement I thought I was going to have to make. I'm going to be perfectly honest when we decided to do hiring horror stories. Just to reassure anybody, nobody actually gets hurt in this story physically. Nobody is physically harmed. But if you have any issue with knives or knife violence, please skip forward 4 or 5 minutes and you will not miss anything.
Yeah, or unwanted physical touch, unwanted entrance into your personal space. Okay, here's the story. I applied for an internal role a level above mine on another team at a company I had been with for 3 years. I ultimately lost out to an external candidate, let's call him Barry, who was overqualified for the role. And I took it in stride because he looked amazing on paper. A few months later at the company Christmas party, party.
Ominous words.
Barry had a bit too much to drink. As the night went on, some of us grew more and more concerned about his behavior, which included hitting on a lot of women. At one point, I was talking with a group of my female colleagues, and Barry came up behind the most soft-spoken woman on our team and put her in a loose headlock. We all laughed and cringed for a moment as she was clearly uncomfortable. And then Barry said something along the lines of, "I'm going to teach you ladies to defend yourself if you ever get held up by someone with a knife." All right. Barry then proceeded to get out an actual switchblade knife and hold it to her neck and slowly walk her through the steps to get out of a headlock. We all saw how uncomfortable she was, but we didn't know how to intervene. Barry finished his unsolicited demonstration and wandered off to go hit on more women. He was fired the next day after about 3 short months with the company. Oddly enough, the knife incident was not reported to HR and was not what he was fired for. It was because he hit on the wrong woman. Barry's role was not backfilled.
I wanted to include this because it gives me personally a little bit of schadenfreude when to hear about somebody, if you get rejected for something and then that person turns out to be an absolute bozo. I really enjoy that sort of little, see what you get for not going with the obviously better candidate, which was me, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think there's only really 2 good scenarios for losing out to somebody specific. One is that one where it turns out that they're just an absolute nightmare and a clown show and you can just be like, oh, the people deciding were idiots and they had no idea. Or if that other person is so good that you are like, yeah, I would have picked them too, which I lost out to people. I was like, oh no, they're far more qualified than I. I guess this is a great example of sometimes you apply for something, you don't get it. And then 3 months later, you do see it posted again. I don't know. Maybe it was Barry.
Yeah, it could be Barry. And Barry, if you're listening to this, you suck.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. But yeah, no, the challenge is that it can be hard to know when people are going to be this egregiously horrible and inappropriate, or if they're going to be sexual harassers or sexist or racist or any of the other things people can hide when they're interviewing.
All right. Next interviewing horror story. I was interviewing at a company for a senior UXR role. I had done most of the interviews locally in NYC and a few by video. They still decided I needed to fly out to SF to meet the hiring manager and a few final people. Everything was amazing until meeting the hiring manager. She gave me an assignment, which I had to plow through something like 100 to 200 pages of confusing and technical material on an unfamiliar product in about 45 minutes. I then had to have an awkward conversation with someone else who pretended to be a specific person on the team, in which we discussed my research approach. And as someone on the autism spectrum, the conversation was a disaster because the role play was fake and awkward. I explained to the manager, look, I just can't work this way. I need time to think and process information. In real life, I would never be having this conversation after 45 minutes to look at this much material. She got really annoyed and said, but I need you to work this way, explaining that I needed to have opinions on demand, even though as a deep thinker, I tend to need time so I can function. At that point, I should have just walked out, but I continued with the awkward interview. Of course, they declined me for the role. I didn't particularly mind, given the obnoxious toxic manager alert, but it was disappointing to have wasted so much time and energy on the job interview, only to be burnt in that fashion. And really, they should have instead declined the hiring manager for being competent to interview for the role.
Ugh, geez. I kid you not, I have a client right now who just had a pretty much the exact same experience as this. They were put on the spot in an interview and asked to whiteboard how they would approach a UX research study, and they didn't do so well for precisely this reason. And unfortunately, most hiring processes are not inclusive with regard to neurodivergence, and so many people have to put up with awful crap like this just to find a decent job. I'm very sorry, dear listener, that you had to go through this experience, and unfortunately, it's probably not the first time it happened, and it's probably not going to be the last time. I have seen a lot more conversation around making hiring practices more inclusive, especially with regard to neurodivergence, disability, other types of variations that we have within humanity. But it shouldn't be up to candidates to ask for the things that they need, because those things may be seen as a poor reflection of their abilities by people who are crappy and biased and just awful. But I do know that some people are taking this approach to ask to do things, say, asynchronously or get extra time for exercises like this. So that self-advocacy is important, but it's, again, totally unfair to put that burden on people.
So I have a slightly different take on this.
Please.
I 100% agree with you that we need to advocate more for having different ways of interviewing. We need to get better just as hiring when we're hiring for people who do think differently or people who need time. I've managed people who have just straight out told me, I'm not going to be able to answer questions in the minute. I need time. I'm like, okay, we'll just build that in. And the fact that she said, but I need you to work this way. Now, I'm going to say, that's a shitty way to work, and I do not want to work in a place that makes me do that. On the other hand, if that's actually the kind of way that they do work, that hiring manager was appropriately screening out people who can't work that way. Now, I would argue nobody works real well that way, which is a different thing, but that's a question of, that's not a hiring question, that's a you have a shitty work environment question. That's just a statement. You have a shitty work environment. That's not a great way to get things done. But if that's the way that they get things done. Now, the one thing is, I do wish that there were a way early on in that process before they fucking fly you out to San Francisco and make you go through all the hoops, where you could get them to tell you what the actual job would be like so you can make that decision before interviewing for something that you would suck at. Because it's unreasonable to expect people to do that. But I definitely think this is a shitty way to interview if that's not the way you work. Mm-hmm. But if that's really a thing that you're going to expect of people, okay. I just ask them to do it earlier in the process so they don't waste a lot of time.
Yeah. And don't make people feel bad about it, right? What? Think about the other person and put yourself in their shoes and, yeah, address specific needs and requirements up front. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. I once interned in the realm of UX and marketing under a startup founder. The role was unpaid for a year, despite the company making a profit, and then for the next 3 to 6 months, it was agreed the role would be paid, I think, $500 for 3 to 6 months. However, there was no official contract signed, and eventually this founder ghosted me after my term was done. I ended up having to chase up this person, a senior level member at multiple big names, and only months later was a small payment received. Jobs like this should come with a warning. It was a very disappointing experience, and no recommendation was received despite my impact in multiple areas. I also heard that someone who was on a sponsor visa who lost their job was in talks with this company, but did not end up being sponsored by them despite being offered or accepting the role.
Damn. So, okay, there are so many red flags here. It's just a quilt of red flags.
Oof.
This is, 100% red flags, some of them literally illegal if they were in the US. Mm-hmm. First mm-hmm. of all, internships are not unpaid unless they are only for the benefit of the intern. Being paid $500 for 3 to 6 months of work, I'm assuming part-time or full-time, that is so far under the minimum wage that this startup founder should be in jail for wage theft. It's absolutely awful that this shit happens to interns because it can, because interns are the ones who are the most desperate and who have the least experience to be able to push back on this shit, which I even think makes it worse. Pull that on me. Fucking pull that on me. Come on.
Try it.
leave the interns alone, all right?
Yeah, try it and see what happens, because Laura has a black belt in karate.
At the point, I will just broadcast your name that you did this shit. Look, this is awful. I feel terrible for this person. I in no way blame this person for any of the things that happened. If you find yourself in a position like this, please, I know you want the experience. I know you want the recommendation, but this is a bad person who's going to take advantage of you, and you can tell, and you're not going to get anything you want out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. This person was obviously in a very vulnerable situation, and I don't want to blame them for it. I think, though, we can all learn some lessons from this person's experience, which is not the first time. This happens all the time with interns. And if you look at the amount of pay, they're probably making 50 cents an hour just based on some initial quick calculations. So it's of course way below what they should be making, but there was no contract signed. They got ghosted. They had to chase people up. I think at a certain point, it's like, is it time for me to get out of this situation, even though I might be leaving behind some kind of opportunity for my career? But to try and get those things figured out ahead of time. Again, I don't want to blame this person. There is a lot of desperation sometimes to get into fields that are difficult to enter. And yeah, people just need to do the right thing. On the other hand, you gotta watch your back.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next story. I interviewed for a contract UX research role, which had an automated video screen as part of the process. You record your responses to prompts, play memory games, and the computer gives you a score from 0 to 100 based on your performance. Humans do not have any role in the grading process. I passed the screen, but was terrified about the experience. This was scary and laden with bias. I am skeptical about a computer's ability to evaluate videos. The questions did not pertain to the role, and the memory games are completely irrelevant. God, these things are showing up more, and I hate them, and they're biased, and they're terrible. And I get why companies do them. They're just constantly trying to find a fucking way to hire fewer people. But friends, this ain't it.
No.
I shouldn't get penalized or any benefit from, I'm really good at playing memory. This is not useful. And if you feel like you're bad on video, or if you have any one of a number of totally normal reactions to this, it's just going to tank your ability to get the job. And I hate it. And more companies are doing it, and I wish they would stop.
Yeah. And it's one thing if you have to record some videos or responses or answer questions asynchronously and a human being looks at it, and that's uncomfortable and weird in and of itself. But if you were to do that and then the software is going to use what I assume to be natural language processing or some kind of AI tools to assess what you said and make decisions about your qualifications, obviously that's not a great idea either. And I really don't understand it. Businesses today and pretty much historically are run in a way that I wouldn't do it, first of all. And it just doesn't make sense. I know people want to save money and make things more efficient, and there are all kinds of problems with the concept of work that relate to that, but it ends up causing these kind of situations where the technology actually doesn't solve anything. It probably kicks people out of consideration who are totally capable of doing these jobs. And then you have things like IQ tests and personality quizzes and all of this crap. And yeah, I hate it too.
Yeah. I actually have a hypothesis about why they're doing this, but let's read the next one because it's in a similar vein. And I think I want to share my idea about why companies pull this shit.
Okay. Next story. I applied to a director of UX design role back in July 2023. They did not have an ATS. They had a simple form on their website, and I never got a confirmation of my application being received. As it was a reactionary application due to being laid off, I didn't hold out much hope for that role. Beginning of October 2023, I get two emails, one asking me to take a behavioral assessment, the other email asking me to complete a one-way interview where I record myself answering 10 questions for the company to review, with no context for the role or anything. It was horrendous. No multiple takes on recording any of the questions, a time limit of 1 to 3 minutes on each question. I just said, fuck it. If you can't follow up with me about receiving my application and then months later ask me to jump through these hoops without the decency of a real fucking interview. So I canceled the interview and moved on. The company then texted me asking why I hadn't completed the one-way interview as they noticed that I had canceled it. I told them why I'm no longer interested and was pretty honest about my experience. They then told me that it was a required step in the process, and if I didn't complete it, I wouldn't go forward. I said that's fine and that I would like to withdraw my application. This TA specialist texting then had the fucking balls to text me and say, thanks for wasting our time. Fuck 'em.
I love this person's attitude, by the way. I swear to God, I did not write this one anonymously, but whoever you are, I love you. But this is another one of those awful examples of, we've put a bunch of stupid hoops in front of you to see if you'll jump through them. And here's my idea of why people do them. Yes, I get it. You've been told, you have been sold shit by the manufacturers of these products that these are going to save you time and revolutionize and disrupt and blah, 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 whatever. I get that somebody in your organization, I don't know, got taken out to a steak dinner and fed a bunch of whiskey and signed a contract. I get that. Mm-hmm. That sucks. So that's one reason why these things happen. The other reason that these things happen, I think, is because these are really good if you want to screen out anybody who has another option. Mm-hmm. Because the people like this person who are like, oh, you're wasting my time. They're not going to put up with it. And you then don't hire this person who might, I don't know, in that role, speak up about bad things happening at the company. I don't want to get all conspiracy theorist on this, but if your goal is to hire people who desperately need a job so they won't leave or because they can't leave or because you're going to treat them poorly or because whatever reason you might want to hire somebody desperate as opposed to the best person, I think this is exactly the kind of shit you would put in their way, right? Who wants this job bad enough to do all of these terrible things? And the answer is maybe not the best person, but if you don't have any respect for the actual role, then that's fine. You're not looking for the best person. You're looking for the person who needs it the most. And I don't know. I think that's gross.
Yeah, it is gross. And I have nothing to add.
All right. Well, we're just going to accept that my hypothesis is correct and move on. All right. Last story. This is an awkward one, but I love it. I was being hired for a role and the whole day had gone really well. I reached the last interviewer who was really morose. It was supposed to be an open chance to see how I would work with my peers. Turns out this person was really down and I wasn't sure why. So I asked them, is everything okay? They said, no, fuck this company. Don't work here. They're backstabbing sons of bitches. I said, what? They said, yeah, I actually got fired, but they didn't cut off my access to my computer and I saw this on my calendar to tell you not to join. I said, oh, okay, thanks. Click. Afterwards, I reached out to the recruiter and the hiring manager who apologized profusely, but in the end, it didn't matter. It wasn't a good fit.
Sometimes there are allies.
Yes. Look, I whomst among us has not fantasized about being the person who's just, no, get out, don't do it. Like just blinking run in Morse code over and over to the person that you're supposed to be like encouraging to come join the company, right? More than anything, this is about cybersecurity and cutting off access to people that you fire almost immediately. But holy shit, good for that person for just taking a shot and warning them.
Yeah. And if that person's listening, thank you. I really appreciate what you did here. And it can feel really good. It can be cathartic to prevent folks from walking into a trap. And I got to say, that's definitely something I have done several times in the past for toxic work environments. And I am proud to say that I have prevented several people from going to work at them by sharing my experiences. And of course, it's a personal decision. I did hear about some people who did decide to go work at this place and then fucking hated it. And they had to learn on their own.
Once again, is there anything better than being right about things?
Oof, yeah, no.
I'm gonna say no. No, but what that person did was a gift. It was a gift. And yeah, I encourage more people to, you know what, honestly, I encourage more people, if you are on that hiring panel, and Amy, like Amy said earlier, we're going to do some hiring manager horror stories next time. But if you are on the hiring panel, and if you are interviewing somebody, I actually encourage you, maybe don't be this honest, but answer these questions honestly. Give people a true vision of what it's like to work at the company and on the team. I think that's important, just because you don't actually want, if your idea of something horrifying might be somebody else's idea of perfect. So great, just tell them, just be honest with them and let them make the decision for themselves. Don't just try to sell. And if the people are really backstabbing sons of bitches, then I don't know, maybe just give them the gift of honesty.
Yes.
All right. That is all the time that we have today. And we hope you haven't been too frightened by much of the awfulness of these ghastly anecdotes and even ghastlier people.
And if you are, you can thank us for giving you a taste of the horrors you will encounter in your next job search or hiring process. So sorry about that. But yeah, next time we'll be back with our third and final episode with even more horror stories that will make you want to crawl under your bed and never come out again.
I am Laura.
And I'm Amy.
We want to thank you all for listening and wish you all the best of luck with your search. No matter what you're looking for, we're rooting for you.